The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, a call back to femininity.
Is it, we've kind of taken on the Sex and the City kind of attitude. If we can't beat them, we'll join them. This is a call back to femininity. A call away from crudeness. That we don't talk like the rest of the world. We don't think like the rest of the world.
A story fit for a song. Next.
For joining us on Life Today. It's that special day, Wednesdays with Beth. I'm Betty and this is James.
Well, we're just so thrilled to have Beth sharing, and she's talking about, I really like this title of her teaching, A Story Fit for a Song. And as I look down here at it, and I realize that basically she's going to show you some pretty amazing situations that would have looked like the impossible, would have never made a poem or a song. And the fact is, a lot of people feel that way about their own life. And really, for me, and Betty had the most stable of the home situations. Beth and I, we just, you know, really, it was just like, hey, you know, there's no way. And of course, Betty was a nice church girl, and yet she didn't know the Lord. She had to come to know Christ right out of the choir. Had to come out of the choir to get saved. That's worse than having to come out of the bar. You know that? She just had to come out of the choir. And didn't really know the Lord. But really and truly, you wouldn't have thought Beth Moore and James Robinson could have ever had a story fit for a song. You may think that about yourself, but you do have. Let's listen to Beth. Welcome, Beth Moore.
I want to show you lastly, and we'll camp on it for a few minutes, so stay with me here, if you would, as we're finishing up our series on a story that is fit for a song. I want you to hear number 8, and it's this. It's a story of tested character and true courage. A story of tested character and true courage. It tells about, in the previous verses, it tells about Yael and her driving the tent peg through the head of Sisera. But then it says in verse 28, in this song of Deborah and Barak, it says, through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice she cried out, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? And the wisest of her ladies answered her, indeed she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man. Colorful garments is plunder for Sisera. Colorful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck. All this as plunder. I want you to stop here because that's such archaic language. It tends to go right over our heads. But something extremely intriguing is right in the middle of it. After we've been told what a harsh ruler the Canaanites have and how Sisera is such an enemy to the Israelites, at the very end of the song, we get this picture of Sisera's mother. And she's looking out, even though it's the enemy's family, still she's a mother that is looking for the homecoming of her son. And it's just, she's peering out the window going, why don't I see him? Why don't I hear the hooves of the horses pulling his chariot? Why isn't he coming? And it says that the women, that her ladies in waiting around her answer her, and it says, indeed, she keeps saying to herself. So the women around her, and then she's going, you're exactly right. That's exactly what's happened. What's taking them so long? Well, you know they're dividing up the plunder. All the garments, and then a woman for this one, and two women for this one. Stay with me here. As we make the point of the crudeness that had overtaken the women in a crude culture, that the women themselves were saying, you know what they're doing? They're getting them a woman as part of their plunder before they come home. Now, this was oppression to the women. This was rape. This was wrong. But in such a crude society, The women had taken on the crudeness. And they themselves had become part of the oppression to their own gender. Is anybody staying with me here for a second? You and I, all of us, male and female, we live in this Western world, in many parts of the world, but I can't imagine that any nation would exceed us on this one. We live in a very crude culture. All of us may know a whole lot of godly men. I certainly know a lot of godly men. But we also know a whole lot of crude men. And what can happen in the society that we live in is that women can lose their femininity and we can become as crude as the guys. Now, gentlemen, please don't take me wrong on this. I'm not saying that you are crude. I'm saying we live in a crude culture. And what's happening is that we've kind of taken on the Sex and the City kind of attitude that if we can't, that we as a gender, I'm speaking of women, if we can't beat them, we'll join them. And we'll just talk just like them. And we'll act just like them. And we've taken on the role of crudeness. And it's a call back to modesty. Modesty of character. Modesty of heart and purpose. That we don't want to be crude. We want to keep the protection over our hearts and over our gender. When we're part of something that demoralizes and minimizes our gender, we've just taken on the same crudeness. When we watch things or pay for things or support things that are demeaning to our own gender, and then we're going to complain about it later in another realm, we've just been part of it. This is a call back to femininity, a call away from crudeness, that we don't talk like the rest of the world. We don't think like the rest of the world. And we don't consider ourselves spoils to the enemy. One of the most exciting things that Life Outreach is doing right now is in the area of human trafficking. I've loved all of the outreaches of Life. I love mission feeding, something that Keith and I have gotten to be part of. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen it in action. We've seen the wells. We've gotten to be part of the water programs, and we just absolutely love it. But I can tell you that my temperature went way up when I knew we were beginning to take part in seeing that there would be women and children released from the areas of oppression and human trafficking in staggering numbers in parts of this world. By remaining quiet, we just become part of the crudeness. By accepting it as our lot, we just become participants in the crudeness. By wondering, what could you do to change it anyway? We just become participants in the crudeness. There is something we can do. We can make a whole lot of noise. We can make a whole lot of noise with godliness, with integrity, with modesty. And maybe one person cannot do much. But right about now, there are 1 million people watching on the other side of that screen. That, girlfriend and guy friend, is a mighty army. When we join together, shoulder to shoulder, for what is right, what is dignity for humanity, even humanity that does not yet know our Savior, but it is the right of a human created in the image of God to have. We fight for them, and there is victory. I want you to see, lastly, words back in Judges chapter 5. Words of Deborah, march on, my soul, be strong. March on, my soul, and be strong. The courage to wake up, the courage to march on, the courage to call ourselves to action. That is the picture of the life of Deborah. Verse 21. The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river of Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong. Then thundered the horse's hoofs, galloping, galloping, going in his mighty steeds. I got to tell you something. There's such majesty in the scriptures, not only what is said, but how it is said. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the words for galloping in Hebrew sound exactly like the galloping of a horse, that the word itself sounds like hooves hitting the pavement, and the song that sings out, march on, oh my soul, be strong, is the climactic moment in the life of one woman. I want to tell you something as we close this series. I had a very interesting encounter not long ago that I will never, ever forget. I was at a conference, and several speakers were speaking, and after the Friday night session was over, we had a time for prayer, and we had lots and lots of prayer warriors and a team that had come forward, and the women could come down for prayer if they needed it. And so the team was already in place, and I was in a part of the platform team, so I just didn't really know what to do with myself. So all these women were in line, and they were waiting for people to pray with them. So I just decided, being the touchy-feely person that I am, that I would just walk down through the people, and I would just give somebody a hug that needed one. And so I saw a number of people that could use a hug, and I said, really, I'm not supposed to be the one praying. They'll pray for you, but I'll just hug you. And so we just had some wonderful encounters in that line. But I came up to one pair of girls. It was a mom and her daughter, only the mom and the daughter looked absolutely nothing alike. It was a very fair colored mom. She was a blonde and beautiful little freckles across her cheek and very light eyes and just darling. I put her in about mid-30s, and she was standing by a little girl that I came to find out through our conversation was 9 years old. And the mother introduced me to her daughter, who was very dark-headed, a very beautiful, deep olive skin and dark eyes. And the mom just very readily said to me, I'm just dying for you to meet my daughter, Eliana. She said, we adopted Eliana from Romania several years ago. And the child could speak such good English. I was just astounded at her just proficiency with the language. And she was just the cutest thing. And I leaned over to talk to her. And her eyes were just so bright and just sparkling. And so I was talking to her mother and sort of talking about her right in front of her. And I leaned over to say something to her. And when I did, she stepped forward. And she just threw her little chest back up like this and her head back like this. And she looked straight in my eyes. And she said, I've been abused too. And this was like, whoa. I was so stricken, I hardly knew how to answer it. I had come in that conversation to learn that she and her mom had gone through the Esther Bible study together, and her mom had tried to share it with her in words that she could understand, and had just taken her to a whole new place of seeking God and understanding what He would do for a person. And I realized that in this progression of faith that this young child had, her mother had told her that I had the same background as her. And she had hoped that would be some kind of encouragement to the child. And it clearly was, because the child did not tell me that she'd been abused apologetically. I mean, she just stepped forward and she blurted it out. I mean, there was no, I'm here with my mommy. We did nothing. It was the first thing she said to me, I've been abused too. And so I looked down at that precious child, and any of us would feel for a child who had been abused. But we who have also been abused don't just feel for them. We feel with them. It is like, it's like we can feel it happening all over again. Am I telling anybody the truth? I mean, it's just something you never do forget the sense of. And so everything in me would have wanted to throw my arms around this precious little child and just hold her head on my shoulder and just pat her back and just bawl and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So many people have asked me along the way, what should someone say when someone says that they have an abuse background or they've been abused? And I've always said, you know, it's just a really simple. You don't have to come up with all the answers. You can just go, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And that would be my usual thing. If an adult woman, if her mother had just said that to me, I would have thrown my arms around her. I probably would have teared up. And I most definitely would have said, I am so sorry. But something in me right this second told me that that was not the thing to do. I was not to get hold of that child, tell her how sorry I was for her, and bawl on her shoulder like something terrible had happened to her, even though it had. The prompting of the Holy Spirit told me to also throw back my shoulders and also put my chin up and look down at Eliana and go, Finn, you and I both know what God can do with a girl who's been through a lot. And she grinned at me ear to ear and she said, I sure do. I said, because we know that no matter what anybody has done to us, God can raise us up and he can make us mighty. We know that we can be around people and they'll never know one hand was laid on us because the hand of God is on us. Because we know that anybody can be a miracle, don't we, Eliana? She looked up at me with eyes as big as saucers and she said, we know. March on, oh my soul, be strong. There comes a time to cry on one another's shoulders. Then there comes a time to throw back your shoulders and say that we know what God can do with the people who've been through what we have been through. Then we know how God can raise a wonder out of the dust. Then we know what God can do when he touches someone with his holiness and his beauty who has been touched by oppression and abuse. We know what God can do. And somebody else gets a little bit of courage. You got one time to live here on this planet, this side of heaven. Nobody can fight your battles for you. You cannot win a battle you refuse to fight. Wake up. Wake up, oh Deborah. These are days of war. Throw your shoulders back. Pull out your sword and slice the wind. Because it's time to fight like you mean it.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, how true. You will never win a fight and a battle that you choose in any way not to fight. I mean, when God says suit up with the whole armor, it's because there is a conflict. I loved the intensity with which Beth says, get the sword. And really, the sword of the Lord is not a bludgeoning instrument. It is the word of God. It is the truth of God that carries you and really pierces in the purest sense of the word and most meaningful. It's like a surgeon's skilled, trained hands with the surgical scalpel to benefit and bless you. And that's what we do. We can literally, in God's power, cut our way through life, and you can have a story that is fit for a song, and that song can be sung now. Betty, we are going to show our viewers some images that I want to beg you not to turn away from. I mean, I'm asking because what you'll see with the depravity of humanity without God and the predation on precious children, reality, ugly reality. But if you say, I want to turn away because I don't like that, what if you turn toward it and you corrected it? What if you rescued someone from that situation that you don't like to see? Think about what it's like for the person that's trapped there. Watch with your heart. Ask God to give you His heart while you watch.
You see all these places? They look like so-called massage parlors, bars, restaurants.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, it's human trafficking. See the red light behind there? It's all a front. Guest house or massage parlor. But behind it, they have little children that are for sale.
Boy, when you see a man walking with a child, you would think that's a family member. And those images, so often it's someone leading a child off to exploit them and take advantage of them. You say, well, James, how would you rescue those children? Well, we find them, and you know, Betty, because you and I have been in those villages up in the mountains where people are so poor that the children and the families are vulnerable to any offer of something that means income, resource, something they've never had. And they will literally trade a child for something that they need, or they will let the child go with someone who will exploit them because they promise them a better life. We can offer them a better life. And when we began to share with our viewers a few years ago the very real need, I can remember as we prayerfully discussed it, I said, I'm not sure our viewers will even watch, much less help. But if I could reach out and take you by the hand and put my arms around you in a warm embrace and look you in the eyes and say, thank you. Because when we saw a need, you extended a hand to say, I'll meet that need, enabling the missionaries and the relief workers to put their arms around those precious children. And we can get those children before they get sold or exploited. And then many of them, when we see them vulnerable on the streets, we're able to communicate and find out they have a need. Sometimes they're orphaned, sometimes they're desperate, but we're able to give them a home. And you've been able to do that. We're having to rent quarters someplace in Thailand, which is the worst place in the world for the sexual predation on children. We've been able to build a beautiful House of Destiny Life Center. It's fantastic. In most of the places in Asia, and many of the names of those cities we can't mention because we'll jeopardize the workers' safety. But in those areas where we're working rented quarters, if you would help, we'd be able to provide permanent quarters. That would be another life center. If you would simply today reach out and dial the number, and take a bank card. And Betty, I know you're praying with me that they will. When our friends take that card and use it like a check, the way it should be used, and make a gift, we're able to give them life and a hope and a future.
And James, it's like you said, if we thought it was hopeless, I could not sit here and watch this. But because I know that with your help and with others, and James and I are able to give too, we want to, that we can make a difference. We can help these precious children not to have to go through all the, James, the hurt and the pain and never knowing any freedom in their life and never knowing any peace and never knowing that someone cares about them. We can do that through our love and through our gifts to make a difference in their lives. I hope you will join with us.
Well, I pray that it be every person watching responding by dialing the number and taking your bank card or go to lifetoday.org and say, here's my gift. Now, please, don't just hope and pray somebody will do it. You be the somebody for somebody there. $128 is what it takes to rescue a child. $1,280, we can rescue 10. There's a level at which you can help. We're sending the beautiful book, The Butterfly Effect, which shows a butterfly can set in motion the power to create a hurricane, scientific fact. You can set healing streams in motion. And the beautiful bronze, the Father's heart, the heart of our Father. Please make that call or make that gift. Would you do it right now? Thank you so much for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. This is the last week, so please call, write, or make your gift online.
I want to ask you to really prayerfully consider helping us rescue at least 10 of those precious girls and those children. By literally doing what this beautiful art piece and collectible expresses, and that's reaching down like a father, to have the heart of a father and express it, would you help us do that? Thank you so much. I think it's real important for you to know this is the last week now. If you're going to help us, we need your help. We need it today.
Tomorrow, best-selling author Andy Andrews explores the butterfly effect.
But how do you prove that somebody matters?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.